What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Sandra Smith, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. I'm John Saucier. One of the most powerful tools in the war chest of Russian President Vladimir Putin might be information. He can use it to cast influence or shield people from it so they don't know what's actually going on.
It's very, very, very difficult for the Russians nowadays to have access to the truth. And that's precisely what Putin wants.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vladimir Putin's Victory Day speech in Russia didn't live up to many analysts' expectations. He didn't highlight any sort of huge recent Russian positive war story out of Ukraine, and he didn't formally declare war on Ukraine, allowing him to call up more reservists. But it actually turns out that withholding information may be more effective for the Russian president.
I have to tell you, I was actually not surprised that Putin resorted using such a rhetoric because, first of all, May the 9th is tremendously important patriotic holiday in Russia.
We're speaking today with Dr. Ivana Strodner. She serves as an advisor to the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Barish Center for Media Integrity.
Everyone, you know, expected that Russia would formally declare war or even enable large-scale mobilization. But the real question is, like, why would Putin even do it? Because he can use information operations inside his country in the way that he wants, and the Russians, they already believe that this particular, what they call it, special operation, what we call it here, war, is going quite well. So Russia already, you know, failed in its main goal, which was to occupy Ukraine, to install its puppet regime, because Putin miscalculated. And now we are approaching the phase two of the war, which is basically to focus on Ukraine's Donetsk and Luhansk oblast. And we'll see actually more activities, I think, in the southern of Ukraine, including places such as Mariupol or Kherson. So Putin actually used, you know, his speech to emphasize how the war is going quite well, and he did not want to announce any change, but rather to re-emphasize already existing Russian strategy, because the Russian people, they believe that it's quite successful, so no really need to declare war. And also, don't forget about one thing, Putin also does not want his population at this stage to be even more involved in this thing in terms of his citizens. He does not really want to drag them more, especially because they think, you know, sanctions will have more and more effort, more and more impact in the country. So this will also pose additional risk to Vladimir Putin. And other than that, I think, you know, more or less that's it.
Let's focus on the information that Russians are getting. Your expertise is on information operations within Russia. Now, we know before this war began, Putin passed a law which said journalists can only cover information that's coming straight from Russian state media. We still, though, are getting reports of dissidents speaking out against Russia. There's a recent cyber attack on Russian media claiming other information besides what was already involved and already reported. Do you think that this strategy of Putin keeping his own Russian people in the dark about this war is sustainable long term? Or are they going to find out what's really going on eventually anyways, and it's going to look even worse for their leader?
So far, you know, it's going quite well, because this has been a long Russian strategy, because unfortunately, you know, many people look at this situation from February 2022. But we should actually go back when we are discussing Russian media darkness all the way back to even 20 years ago when Putin came to power, because the first thing that he did with his national security strategy was actually to focus on information warfare, because he has had this paranoia that the United States has been organizing organizing different, you know, trying to organize color revolutions in Russia for the past 20 years. And he made sure, you know, that media is fully under his control. Think about this. According to the latest public opinion, 80% of the Russians actually support Russia's military activities in Ukraine. But only, you know, 50% strongly, you know, support war. And the real question is, how is that possible? Number one thing that Putin had to do was to completely put media under his control. And not only that, to impose draconian sanctions on anyone who is going outside of the realm of official, the Kremlin's rhetoric. So, but again, think about this. This is, again, you know, nothing new, because all the way back to the 2020, Putin signed even a legislation allowing Russia to further restrict social media platforms in order to protect Russia's digital sovereignty. In 2017, Russia officially banned a virtual private network, VPN. So it's very difficult nowadays really to have access to the truth, because as we all know, you know, Twitter, Google, Facebook, TikTok, they all have limits how they operate inside Russia. So what you are facing right now is a complete censorship. And we found the different ways, you know, how we can actually reach to the Russians. Certainly, you know, younger generations, for example, they find ways how to use VPN systems. BBC decided to use shortwave radio to go back all the way to the Cold War techniques. How people, for example, the Russians are very creative people. So within Russia, for example, people are using even emojis to organize protests while avoiding the government censors. That really helps them. Or there is another thing, something that is called Russia, Call Russia, that facilitates basically action that many people can reach to the Russians with more than 40 million Russian available phone numbers, so they can provide news about Ukraine. But it's very, very, very difficult, you know, for the Russians nowadays to have access to the truth. And that's precisely what Putin wants. And that's, you know, something that I've been emphasizing for several months. While we protected ourselves from the Russians, from Russia's disinformation campaigns, we haven't done much to help the Russians inside Russia to have access to the truth.
So possibly an untapped opportunity for Americans, as you know, the Biden administration has sent a number of weapon systems into Ukraine. But what have we actually done to educate the Russian people directly? That's a very good question there. And it's a great point.
Exactly. And if I may just interrupt you here, because I think this is quite, you know, important. The Russians, for example, they don't even use Twitter. Like only 3% of the Russians use Twitter. But even though, you know, Twitter is not even available there. But there is there are alternative social media platforms such as VKontakte, for example, or Telegram. The United States government just recently opened their profiles on those social media platforms. We should do it more. We should be more active over there. We should provide information in Russian language to the Russian people to have access to all these things. So I think there are plenty of creative opportunities for the United States to counter Russian disinformation campaign inside Russia.
Our guest today is Dr. Ivana Shradner. She serves as an advisor to the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Barish Center for Media Integrity. We're talking about the information war within the war between Russia and Ukraine. We'll have more for you right after this. Let's talk about Vladimir Putin's overall strategy, not only with Ukraine, but with other authoritarian regimes in the area. He doesn't want democracy to take hold around his country, because then there is the threat that he may lose power, and other authoritarians also. Can you just give me kind of a broad view of Putin's strategy to that front? How is he able to crush democracy, and how is he recruiting other authoritarian regimes to join him? I'm thinking about Belarus and other countries like that.
So Vladimir Putin has feared, you know, any democratic regime since he came to power, if not even before, given his background as a KGB agent. But if you really look at a broader Russian strategy, I mean, even what Russia has been doing in Europe over the past more than a decade, undermining democracy, both in Europe and in the United States, in terms of other authoritarian regimes. I'm so glad that you asked me this question, because I have to go back to the notion of information operations. While everyone is celebrating, not everyone, but many people are celebrating the fact that basically we won information warfare against Russia, I have to tell you, Russia is doing quite well in Latin America, in places such as Venezuela, or let alone in Africa, promoting, undermining any Western influence over there. And Russia is doing, you know, quite well in undermining also American influence over there. So they need to have their allies, and Putin is doing quite well on that front, because to undermine NATO, to undermine the European Union, and to undermine democracy writ large is something that Putin deeply cares about.
Yeah, and the world should deeply care about it as well, because it's dangerous.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, why I think we should do definitely more on that front, like to counter Russian influence operations in all those countries, using our offensive influence operations in places such as Africa, or in places such as, let's say, Latin America, like Venezuela.
Dr. Ivana Strodner from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Barish Center for Media Integrity. She knows how Russia weaponizes information and just gave us some really great examples about it, as this war has so many different facets to it. But this is definitely one that's important, because we all know information is one of the most important commodities on Earth. Dr. Strodner, thank you so much for your time. And thanks for joining us on the Fox News Rundown War in Ukraine podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.